the broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
Welcome to this week's episode of the broadcast. This is Sam. I'm here with Georgia and Mal. And we are going to do kind of our usual highs and lows. We'll do a Canucks season recap because we are masochists. And then we are going to do Ask the Broads. So I'm going to start with our highs and lows, which we really should just call this highs now because we don't do our lows anymore.
Yes, we've gotten...
The lows are on high.
Yeah, we've decided to just be positive.
Yeah.
For our own mental health.
Yeah. We got a really nice review this week titled, How Am I So Late to This? It says, incredible show. These women exemplify everything I wish the hockey conversations in my life were like. I'm ashamed it took me so long to discover this show and these women. A breath of fresh air. I get so excited every time I see the notification that a new episode is available. I'm not even a Canucks fan, so you're smart. And I can help myself. And I can't help myself. Do yourself a favor. Check your 200 hockey man IQ at the door and give this show a listen. You might find yourself listening to the entire backlog of shows before long. This was like one of the nicest reviews we've gotten and it made our week. And so thank you very much to whoever left the review. And if you haven't yet, please do leave us one. We love getting your feedback. Or hit subscribe or give us 5 stars.
Lots of fun hockey going on. Lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. Let's do that hockey. Come on.
Moving on to a season recap. I don't even remember the season. I think I've already banished it from my memory.
Okay, I did say I was going to make a timeline and then I forgot. But I think because I was thinking about this, everyone has been talking about how, you know, you think about, I think it was on the Ventcast, Jay Pat was talking about how you think of that excitement from when Quinn Hughes got here from Michigan and we had that minute or whatever shift in overtime when he was playing and it was like electrifying. And then, you know, we went into last season, I guess, and then things were whatever. And then we got to the bubble and there was this kind of momentum from the bubble of which, like, I think we can kind of look back on now and say that some of it was a little bit over the top. But there was a momentum with the team of excitement and seeing, you know, what's going to happen next because we seem to be progressing. And then we hit that, you know, that Thanksgiving weekend, basically, during the off season when everything just really started. Like, I feel like for me, that's when everything kind of just started to feel like, oh no, we're back. And that was when, basically every single player of ours who was a free agent signed with Calgary, and Toffoli signed with, Montreal, I guess. And then it was just hectic. And then it was are we going to get Oliver Ekman-Larsson? And then we didn't. And then the Nate Schmidt stuff kind of happened to make things look a little bit better. And then it really wasn't. And Stetcher left and it was just like chaos. And then ever since then, it's just been like, just a mess. And now we're here. And yeah, I don't even know how to describe it other than chaotic to the extent that like, it's starting to go past embarrassing. Like it's embarrassing. That's all I have basically. I mean, we can start with like Mark Donnelly singing the anthem at the anti-mask rally to kick off the season and then, you know, getting shellacked at the beginning of the season. And then, yeah, just, I don't know.
Weird. The thing year. Is that it also doesn't feel like a rock bottom, which is really bad. is that it's not like I don't think that it can get worse, because I definitely think it can. So
yeah,
I don't even have that level of hope, you know? Like, it was very bad. This season had very few highs, but
yeah,
I genuinely think that it can get worse. I think they can get worse.
It's also crazy to think, like, this is like one of the shortest seasons we've ever played, and yet it felt like a decade. Like, so much happened. So many, like, crazy things were going on. And I think a lot of it really stemmed from, like, a lack of communication on the team's part. And I think I was talking to a few people this week about this, and just the sense of, okay, so there's the team on the ice, not playing great. They kind of got a little bit better, but they were kind of too far in the hole by the time that they started to play well for things to really get back on track. And then obviously COVID hit, so that really changed things in the season. But it just felt, there's the team on the ice, and then there's all this stuff happening around the team that just created this environment, whether it was on Twitter or kind of just in the media, where it felt like things were just getting leaked. There was never actual concrete information. Like, there's all these kind of like empty holes that weren't being filled. So they were just getting filled. It was like a vacuum that was just being filled by like chaotic Twitter takes and like all this insane stuff. And so it meant that there was whatever was going on the ice, and then all the other chaos around it. And then they started bleeding together. Really, I think, like, for me, it felt like they were really bleeding together right before COVID hit. And then during COVID, when it came out that there was like a lack of communication between the players and the team. And it just, I don't know. It just seemed like it became this like train that was running off the tracks. And apparently the Sedins are coming in to save it. But I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Thing.
Literally pulling in the Sedins is such a last ditch bullshit move that I feel PR. It's so transparent, but apparently it's not as transparent as we thought.
That was the funniest part of my week, was Vanessa tweeting like, this fan base is not stupid enough to fall for this PR move. And like the immediate next three tweets I see are like certain media members being like, this is a great PR move. I'm like most people are in fact smart enough to see how transparent this is. Like, I guess you can say it's a good PR move, but given how things went with Trevor Linden, I don't know why anyone would want to stick their neck out and try to help this organization. Like, they have been a complete embarrassment from top down this entire season. And I don't mean the players. I think the players are doing what they can, but the way this team is run is a complete joke. And I think when your fans are starting to, like, when the only people you can say you're not as bad as are Eugene Melnyk and the Pegulas, like, sorry, that's pretty close to fucking rock bottom. Like, you have an owner who tweets out the dumbest things and only when they win, and otherwise takes no accountability, never shows his face, never answers questions, which, like, you know what? That's fine. But then shut up when they win. Like, no one wants to hear from you ever then. You don't get to just pick your spots and also send out really dumb tweets. You have a general manager who is incapable of communicating, and every time he opens his mouth in front of anyone, just sticks his foot in it. Like, the man has no media training, or if he does, it is not working. Like, I don't know what he is thinking when he talks to anyone, but he surely cannot be as incompetent as he sounds, but he makes nothing easy for himself. And then you just have, like, I can't even get into the fact that they apparently tried to talk to Jeff Courtnell last week. And like, given the history of that player, which people can look up.
Well, they had him do a review.
Yeah.
In 2019. And yeah, the history of that player is pretty awful. But then they just go back to the same well of these, of only players, like ex-players. And it's like, God, can you guys fucking broaden your horizons? Like, you're just, it's an echo chamber if you just bring in people who were in the organization who are just going to agree with you. But that's like, well, of course they're doing that. Like, of course they're doing that. And that's where, like, bringing in the Sedin. So I guess for people who, like, are outside the market and maybe don't fully understand, basically what happened was, a lot of people have been calling for Jim Bedding to be fired. There was a plane that flew over the city that had a fire Bedding banner attached to it. Basically, like, especially, well, I guess, like, especially since the COVID thing, when players really started to utilize the media in a way to kind of communicate their issues with the league. And then it was reports there's just a breakdown of communication between kind of management and the players, and a general kind of sense of feeling like they're not, like, they're just, the communication is just not there, I guess. It seemed, and also with the team, like, not being good and finishing, did we finish last in the North?
Yep.
Finishing last in the North. But still, like, we're not going to get a good draft pick, though. It's kind of a weird year, whatever. The kind of people thought, okay, well, now, like, Bedding has to be fired now. Like, this, like, they can't. You can't go back into next season like this. You can't. And so Alex Blair reported that there was going to be this change that would happen yesterday. And then basically, like, an hour after he reported that, Darren Dreger reported that they had been talking to the Sedins, to bring the Sedins in under an advisory role. And then that kind of started to be reported on a little bit more. And I guess the consensus now is that they were brought in, that they would be brought in an advisory capacity. So not acting as, like, presidents of hockey ops or kind of, like, high executive positions, but to just exist there. And so a lot of people are like, okay, so they're literally just token hires for you to say, like, the Sedins are here, everything's fine, because the, like, two most beloved players over the last 20 years are, like, here. So everything's okay, when most of us, as Vanessa said, are smart enough to look at that and just go, like, oh, this is your last attempt. Like, this has to be your last attempt. Because if they fuck it up like they did with Trevor Linden, like, if we want to talk about how, like, consumer confidence or whatever is at an all-time low, like, if you fuck up the relationship with the Sedins, you are never coming back from that. Like, you can't, you are not coming back from that in this market. That's, like, that would be a straw, like, that would break the camel's back, essentially, like, in my opinion. So it seems like, and that would be,
I was gonna say, it's essentially what happened with Alfredson and
the, yes, Sons. Exactly. And so that would be, like, it seems to me like that would be something like the last card that you would play, because, like, I don't know what else you would do. And so I feel like we keep trying to make sense of what they're doing, and it will just never make sense because they're the Vancouver Canucks, and it doesn't, there's no, like, there's no rationality to it. Like, that's the thing that we want to exist, because we're humans and we want things to be rational. We want to understand why they're happening. And it's just, in this case, there's no explanation. There's none. It's a mess. Basically, it's a mess. Fun time to be a Canucks fan. So Mal's cheering for Edmondson. I might take up the Kraken's offer to join and be their fans. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, and the other thing was, all this stuff was going down while the Canucks are playing meaningless games against Calgary, where they're playing and there's ads on the boards for playoff pools, like playoff brackets that people should sign up for. And the Canucks in Calgary are playing a useless game that should have never been played. So it's just like, oh God, why is this happening? I don't know. Were there any bright spots of this season?
Sorry, Jordan Binnington got scored on 35 seconds into this game.
That is a bright spot. We'll take
that. My question. Okay, this is a different question, which you was about you throwing me into the bus about being a temporary Oilers fan, which is, who was your playoff team? And I know the Sam's answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the thing is that I literally cannot be a Vegas or an Avs fan because they are so fucking annoying. They are so annoying.
Because they're so good.
So, Georgia, what are you, where are you going?
I have two answers, and they're both in the same, like, conference, so whatever. Carolina, I'll always cheer for. They're fun. There's some good players on that team that I think are wholesome, and I would like to see them win. Also, like, yeah, they've just done it
with Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, they've just done a. I appreciate their fan engagement in a way that is like, you guys are so good at doing this. I think the fans that you've attracted deserve another cup win. But then, like, for whatever reason, I have this weird Canadian like association to the Habs, and it's like the romantic kind of like, oh God, Montreal winning the cup is just like, feels right. And so I don't know why. I don't know how to explain that. Also, it would mean that the Stanley Cup would come back to Vancouver, which is nice, with Brendan Gallagher. But yeah, those are my picks. I'll always like root for the Habs. Also, like, I just hate the Leafs. So anytime that the Leafs can crash and burn, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. What about the Wild? Why are you a Wild hater?
I just forget about the Wild. They don't exist to me. Also, like, I hold just like, I don't know about you, Sam, but there's so many games in that old Northwest division where you play Minnesota and they were just awful, boring games because they played the trap. And yeah. I just like,
you can't do it.
It's like a visceral reaction sometimes where you just like flash back and you're like, oh God. So
yeah. Like,
also, 2003 was one of like the earliest painful memories I have as a Canucks fan. When Todd Bertuzzi told like the Minnesota fans not to buy tickets for game 6, and then we fucking crashed and burned. So
that's
hard.
Pretty funny. That's like one of the funniest like Canucks moments. I love it's a great moment. That situation.
I think it was like CBS Sports or whatever tweeted like, what's the best like calling a win moment? And I really wanted to be like when Todd Bertuzzi said, don't buy tickets for game 6.
Okay. And also, if you're going to talk about Brendan Gallagher, which I know that you are a Brendan Gallagher fan. And my favorite Brendan Gallagher story is the thing about him like training and then just choosing to like asphyxiate instead of like tapping out when he was in a chokehold.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
It's so funny. Just like the stupidity of that. Kyle
he played for the Giants, and I knew someone who went to prom with him. Yes, that's true.
And Tyson Barry is from Victoria. So
Tyson Barry has a very funny story. Do you remember this, Sam? His dad owned Bear Mountain Resort.
Oh.
And was an owner of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And crazy shit went down there. Anyway. Random. The random facts. Okay, any bright spots of the Canucks season? Nils Höglander.
Brock Besser rediscovered.
Brock Besser. Yeah. I think that's the one for me. I was actually surprised that he didn't win MVP. Like, Bo Horvat won MVP, and it's like, okay. Cool, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I thought Brock should have won. Thatcher Demko. Good at goaltending, but also, oh, that's the other thing that happened this week. Thatcher Demko basically begged the Vancouver Canucks to bring back Ian Clark once again through the media. So concerning.
Honestly, I think that what the Canucks deserve is for every single person to request a trade. That's what they deserve.
I want Thatcher Demko's mom to run the team. She seems fun and balanced.
I think that we should
anxiety videos on YouTube.
Have any and all moms run the team.
Ellen Hughes.
I think that hockey moms should run every... Ellen Hughes mostly.
This is truly an unhinged episode.
I think Ellen Hughes is like actually qualified, but I'm literally just putting hockey moms in as their own qualification.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ellen Hughes would be good.
But let Ellen do it.
President of Hockey Ops. Ellen, please.
Absolutely.
Save us.
Please. Like, Luke's out of the house now. She's
got time.
She's got time.
Yeah, come on. Well, there
the funniest thing is that we talk about Owen Hughes all the time. George and I were talking about this. We do not know Dad Hughes's name.
Jim?
I don't know. One of my new favorite... Okay, so I'm sorry. This is a thing that I've been thinking is very funny, and I don't think I actually texted Georgia about it, which is I should have. Which is that for some reason, Quinn Hughes is not bothering making new Instagram posts for any holiday or anything. He is just reposting what he posted the previous year. He has done this for Mother's Day and his brother's birthday.
He's not having a good time, I think, right now. He's not making new content. Fun. I wonder what Quinn Hughes' hobbies are.
Smoking
weed. What did he do during the pandemic?
Smoked a lot of weed.
He says he learned how to cook, but I don't believe him.
No, he didn't. He just got really high and just like made some like mac and cheese on his stove and like kind of burned it. And he was like, this is pretty good.
I caramelized it. Caramelized mac and cheese.
Yeah, and he was like, this is cooking, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, probably. Oh, man. Any other bright spots? I don't know.
No.
Well, we do have an off-season to look forward to, which involves the expansion draft, re-signing of Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, attempt to rebuild our defense. It's going to be fun times. Fun times. Sam is on Twitter, I can tell.
Sorry, I was making fun of Jordan Binnington. Actually, a lot of questions.
I know, I didn't realize. Let's start. Question number one from our friend Tom Hunter at Puck Don't Lie. Who is the most lovable player in the playoffs and why is it Cale Makar? We know Mel's answer will
dispute that. I don't have that much of a problem with Cale Makar. I just have a problem with the Avs. And I do understand that objectively, Connor McDavid is not interesting nor lovable. So.
That's fair.
Is it Cale
Honestly,
Makar?
I really like Vitek Vanacek, who is the rookie goalie for the Caps. I think that he is very easy to root for. Ron is not in DC anymore, but they're both Czech. And, like, initially, Vanacek wasn't very good at English, and so Vrana would, like, translate for him. And there's a bunch of really cute interviews from that, so.
That is cute. I would be better at answering this question if I actually knew who's in the playoffs. Because I just have to look up if Dallas is in the playoffs.
They are not.
They're not. No. Which I knew. I don't know why I had to look that up. I don't know. Yeah, Cale Makar is probably.
Oh, actually,
lovable. Or someone on the Canes.
Wild Rookie. Oh, what's his name?
Kaprizov.
Yes,
he's always very lovable.
He's lovable. Who else?
I think he's pretty lovable. I don't know if he'd be my top pick though. I think Sebastian Aho is.
Yeah, that's a good one. Also. Cole Caulfield, short king extraordinaire.
Yeah,
extremely.
I really like
short
Blake Wheeler in general. American boy.
Did he play well this season? He did not have a good.
He did
season
not,
the last
it's
one.
It's in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of lost some.
He has fell off a little bit.
Oh well, he seems whatever.
That's fine.
Okay, next question.
He, like,
someone asked.
Sent out some like anti-Trump tweets, and that's really more than you can ask for out of any.
He also, I think,
that's more,
got
like,
in
the bare minimum of what you can ask for is just like,
yeah,
basically not acknowledging anything relating to politics. That's like you're like, wow, this is great. This is amazing.
I think he got involved with the George Floyd stuff because he's from Minneapolis or he lives there or whatever in the off season. I think
he's
said some
Minnesota.
Stuff because he was on one of those like TSN panel things with, it was like Evander Kane, Curtis Gabriel, Matt Dumba. And they were talking about player activism. But he was really well spoken, and he came from a, like, from a place of, I'm just starting to realize, like, I need to get involved in this stuff. Anyway, that's a side point. Next question, someone asked.
Okay. Wing Sanity 94 said, will Max Verstappen win this world's, this year's championship, or Lewis win his eighth crown? This is about F1. I did talk about this a little bit on my friend Nick's podcast, Upper Bowl GM. We talked about it some when he said I could come on and talk about F1. But honestly, I think, as even though I'm a Max fan, I think that Red Bull doesn't have the speed. And I think that in general, I think that even though there's only like four races in, I think they've already made too many mistakes to actually stop Lewis from winning. I think that it'll be closer than it's ever been. I think it'll be closer than it's been in the hybrid era, but I do think Max and Red Bull don't have it in them to beat Lewis. Like, it is very much like a Goliath situation. Like, it's not, it's impossible. They would have to make so many mistakes, and I just don't foresee that happening. Anyway, yeah.
There was stuff on Dumois about Max Verstappen.
Oh my goodness. Recently. Okay. So I was, okay.
Cheated
so
anyway, on his girlfriend or something.
Okay. I don't believe that because Kelly Piquet is such a MILF. I think he's doomed to leave this account. She is such a MILF. She's so hot. Anyway, the important
is
thing
she
is
she's a legitimate
so,
MILF?
She like, legitimately has, okay. She legitimately has a child because she has Daniel Kvyat's child. Daniel Kvyat was a former driver. In right. F1.
You okay, got, like, I knew this.
19 coworkers. Yes, because I explained it to you because I think it's hilarious and great.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have like 19 coworkers, and there's like so many hot women in the world, and you're literally going to date your coworkers, like the mother of his child. You're going to do that? So funny. Anyway, it's also especially funny because Red Bull is like addicted to kicking out drivers like of their seat in the mid-season. And they kicked out Daniel Kvyat in 2016 for Max. And then Max and Kelly were still dating. Actually, I think Kelly and Daniel's kid, she had the weekend of Hockenheim 2019, which Daniel Kvyat got third in. It was a great weekend for him. Max won that race. Anyway, it's so funny to me. It's so funny. So
that's...
She's Nelson Piquet's daughter too. So she really likes, she's grown up around F1. She needs to be the wag of one. She's honestly, she's so hot.
They're all, they're all super hot.
They're all very beautiful, but like Kelly is like really hot.
There we go. Sam,
but they were talking about that. They were talking about like, I don't know, the person on the Dumois who like sent something and like vaguely mentioned it, but they kind of have their facts incorrect. I know because they did a lot of research into it because I'm crazy.
I think it was something about he's like on the dating apps or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was something about like Raya or whatever. And they were like,
okay. Yeah, it's always about Raya.
Okay.
I literally was just sending you Kelly Piquet's Instagram.
I knew you were.
Okay. I'm not lying. She's like legitimately such a MILF.
The next question from Cody Sievertson, reconnects front office changes. Which of these two things is most likely to happen first? They hire a woman to join their executive or coaching staff. They hire a president of hockey operations.
Hockey ops. It's not even a difficult question. The seagulls are out again.
The actual answer is neither thing is going to happen. But if I were to pick one, hockey ops.
Anyway, yes.
I don't know. Do whatever you... I don't have an answer.
I like hockey ops.
That's my answer, but not with...
And even that...
Because I said that they were going to hire Ellen
Hughes. Take a while.
From at Leafs 25, Leafs underscore 25, if you could go back knowing how both seasons would play out, both for him and the team, would you still do the JT Miller trade?
I didn't want it in the first place, but sure. I don't think he would.
I mean, no. I feel like what you'd get, though, is them being, like, well, he was great in the room. And Bo really learned from him or something. I feel like there's a lot of people in actually the locker room that really like JT Miller. Like, he's a very, like, he has a lot of swagger, but he also is very, like, he's very competitive and he's very, like, I mean, we all saw the video of him reeling off the names for the roster or for the lineup or whatever in the bubble. He's very, like, aggressive like that. And I think there's a lot of guys in the room that really liked him for that. I would agree with Mal. He's probably not stoked to be here. So, yeah, we'll see. What about you, Sam? Would you do it?
I would not do it. I would not have done it for the same reasons. I didn't think it was a good move at the time anyway. And that's nothing against how he played last year, nothing against him being a good person in the room or whatever. I just think that when you look at the trajectory of this team and where they're at, I think the idea that, oh, you just add good players at the time they're available, is maybe a good strategy in a non-salary cap world where you don't have to plan cap management and you don't have to pay attention to what your team's life cycle is in terms of competing. But it was way too early for them to have made that move.
Yeah, like, and 4 years too early, feels like.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to accept what Benning said and think that they're 2 years away from being a contender, what are you doing trading away first round draft picks 2 years ago? That makes absolutely no sense.
Like, for a player who won't be under contract when that 2 years
in 2 years. Exactly. It makes absolutely no sense, much like everything else Jim does.
I really like, oh man, I hope so much for our dear friend Jackson McDonald that he has his moment in the sun if this happens, but yeah. No, you're completely right.
He quote-tweeted himself today and was so funny.
I know. He loves it. No, you're totally right. It's that thing where if they were 4 years ahead into this plan or whatever, it would be a different story. But doing it, it was just like, yeah, felt like they were just jumping the gun, I guess, on a move. Also, the draft was that when the draft was here? They made that trade?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it after?
It was during.
Okay. Anyway, I digress. Okay, next one from our dear friend Clarissa at Quinn's Edgework. If the eliminated teams this year played to find out who is the best of the worst, who would win?
Okay. It's really difficult because all of the like divisions are not even remotely comparable, you know?
Mm-hmm. So we got
like,
oops.
So like the thing is that like the Yotes almost made the playoffs. They're not good.
Yeah. In most divisions, there was either the top two teams or the top three teams.
The Rangers are the best of the worst.
Yeah. There was like the top two teams. And then there's just like this cataclysmic drop. There's like 10 points between like in the Central Division between the Lightning and the Predators, there's 11 points difference. Like that's insane. Anyway. Okay. So we have Stars, Blackhawks, Red Wings, Blue Jackets, Rangers, Flyers, Devils, Sabres. Oops. Yotes, Kings, Sharks, Ducks, Flames, Senators, Canucks.
Yeah, I think it's the Rangers. For
it's, sure. Yeah.
It's the either, Rangers. It's the Rangers or the Stars.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say I would probably pick the Rangers out of those two.
Okay.
Should we do another Instagram question?
I have another question, which is mostly just for Georgia, because I know that Sam doesn't have an opinion. Like, just my friend Eddie said, thoughts on Arsenal's new away kit.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah.
I sent it to Mel right away because Kieran Tierney was.
I think they were wearing, yeah, they were wearing it in the women's game where they obliterated Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace,
Sunday.
Yeah.
Like it was 7-0 or something and it looked really nice.
I like it a lot, actually. I just like the color.
George and
like,
I have talked a lot about how we want to move away from red and blue teams.
They also wore it today.
Yeah.
I think it looks better. So here's the thing. My struggle with the Premier League. Every team is either red or blue, as Mal just said. So when... like Arsenal plays Liverpool, they all have to wear different colors because they can't both wear red or white or whatever. But Arsenal's thirds were traditionally the banana yellow, which Mal loves. I don't.
They're so ugly.
Because I hate yellow as a jersey color. But this one is more of like, I would describe
it's
it as like
pastel.
It's like a lot more pastel. And I think it just looks less harsh, especially like on camera. So I like it a lot better. And it has these little fun, like red accents. So yeah, love it. Love it a lot. I hope we get some new fun ones designed by like Pharrell. Again, the marble ones.
Be a caricature of myself, but Lewis Hamilton is an Arsenal fan.
So is the Queen.
So they collab anytime.
So is the Queen, apparently. Okay,
well, that's not fucking true.
And
I don't believe she has any hobbies.
No, the best Arsenal fans are Lewis, Idris Elba, Daniel Kaluuya.
The
Daisy,
worst are
Daisy Ridley,
Morgan,
and the Queen,
and Osama bin Laden.
So sad that all those are true.
In that order. In that order.
In that
also.
Order. Oh my God. That's like the utter pain of being an Arsenal fan is knowing that when you are also happy that Piers Morgan is happy. It hurts. It hurts a lot. Piers Morgan is one of the only people I think that I would actually get like so upset being around them that I would physically try and attack them. Like, I think I would try and punch him. Anyway, that's some insight into my brain.
This is literally my favorite tweet of all time, which is, it's crazy that Osama bin Laden was an Arsenal fan and Piers Morgan is the worst Arsenal fan to exist.
From Haley E. Chow on Instagram. Are the bolts screwing the cap and is it okay because it falls under yanked, cheating, yank trying?
It falls under, it's funny, so I think it's fine.
What are they doing? Like, are they doing like contracts? Like they're...
Well, Kucherov sat out.
Oh, like, right. And now he's playing.
And they're like $17 million over the cap for the playoffs, but there was no cap in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking go for it. I don't care.
Yeah. I think somebody.
They'll change that in like 2 seconds. It's like when they figured out how to do the cap, like the Luongo cap thing. And then immediately they changed it.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. There is no rule prohibiting you from doing this under the current CBA, other than like a very vague provision about like not contravening the spirit of the cap, which is like a very vague.
The spirit thing. Of the cap. Oh, fuck off.
And like, yeah, I guess arguably it's cap circumvention, but not really, not technically. And I think actually most teams end up being over. I think, I can't remember who said it. It was either PJ or, I don't know, one of the Canucks media guys pointed out that the Canucks were well over the cap in the 2011 playoffs, like significantly over, because Lawrence Gilman was a cap genius.
And they kept having injuries. So they kept having to like bring people in and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't consider it cheating. I think good cap management is a skill that every team should have and that the Canucks don't have.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, if everyone can do it, then it's not cheating.
Yeah.
Like for me, like if it was just something like that only they could do because of like a special thing, then it would be a little bit different. The Kucherov thing, like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's a little sketchy, but also think of all the teams that like put players on LTIR at the end of their careers, cough, cough, Ryan Kessler, like, so they don't have to deal with buying them out and stuff. So,
but like also the Leafs acquired David Clarkson's contract solely for the purpose of putting him on LTIR and clearing space. Like,
yeah,
any team can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah, well, and it's like the way it's not even, it's just being really smart. Like you're being really forward thinking. It's how Vegas fleeced everyone for all their picks during the expansion draft is because they figured out how to manipulate the system to their advantage. And that's intelligence. So go for it. Okay, Mel, I have an F1 question for you from @ThornBlake. After four races into the F1 season, who are your biggest surprise and biggest disappointments? For them, it's Leclerc and Perez as surprises and disappointments, Gasly and Vettel.
I'm actually surprised that they think that Leclerc and Perez are surprises. Because Perez, like, anyway, my answer is just McLaren in general on both accounts. I think Lando has been a very impressive surprise. And I think that he's really matured as a driver and is like really being consistent and incredible. And I also think that now it's very disappointing because Daniel Ricciardo has not been performing well. And he's the second McLaren driver. Well, not second. He's one of two. They're not like, and he really has not been performing well at all. He's been getting outdriven by Lando constantly. And he's like a 7-time like race winner. And I would expect more from him. And I understand he's still getting his like feet under him, but I think that he really quickly needs to figure out what he's doing or else it is embarrassing that he's getting clowned on by this dude who just like streams himself playing Fall Guys all the time.
Okay. Follow-up question from @RLomas42, Rob Lomas. Realistic finishing position for Lando in the Drivers' Championship, and at what point does Mazepin spin into the water at Monaco?
I think that he doesn't make it out of the formation lap. I think Mazepin doesn't even start the race. But I think that Lando can get... He can definitely probably get fourth or fifth, I think, if he continues performing the way he is. Because you'd have, because I think that obviously you have Max, you have the big, you have Mercedes. And then depending on if Perez continues, like how he is, I know that he's, I don't know. The Red Bulls like always had problems with consistency. And so if he like DNFs like enough times, Lando can probably overtake him for his place in the championship.
Okay. Next question. You guys are asking some like very serious hockey questions this time. Who would you from @Daniel in Korea? Who would you protect for this expansion draft on the Canucks and on Canucks Twitter?
Okay, I actually looked up the expansion like protection stuff. It's confusing. I'm not going to go into it. You can Google it. It's on Wikipedia.
It's 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie.
So there's players that are already mandatory have to be protected because they have no move clauses. The player, I think they're basically going to protect like the top 6. So Bo, JT, Besser, Petey, Pearson, because why the fuck would they sign him to a deal and then not expose him? I'm missing 2 more and I can't think of them right now. My brain hurts. For example, like they don't have to protect Hoaglander or like Mark Michaelis because they're protected or whatever already. Who am I missing?
I actually don't know.
Fuck, I can't think right now.
Nate Schmidt?
No, well, that's defenseman. I was talking about
forwards. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Who am I missing?
Tyler Mott?
Yes, Tyler Mott. Obviously, we have to protect him at all costs. I'm missing one more, and now I can't think of it. Whatever. And for defensemen, I mean, Nate Schmidt, Quinn Hughes. I'm assuming Ole Yulevi they're going to try and protect. Like,
I assume they're going to protect Rathbone. Do they have to protect Rathbone?
I don't think they have to.
No, I don't think they have to because he's under that rookie thing.
Yeah.
They have to have played 40 games this season or a combined 70 in the last two seasons.
I mean, they don't have any defensemen to protect.
Yeah, so that's why it's like, it would probably be that. They're going to lose Holtby. Like, that's my prediction of who they're going to lose. So I feel like that's pretty obvious. Like, the other thing is, because I think one of the players that people were talking about is like, who do you protect was Jake Virtanen. That's not even a conversation anymore. So that's one less thing that you have to think about. I don't even think they would have done it before all the allegations and stuff. But anyway.
And it's not like they're going to take him anyway.
Yeah. So I think like realistically, my assumption would be that they'd take Holtby, but like, I mean, he's not been that great, but we also don't like who else would like, we don't have anything really good to offer.
Will not be protected that you can take.
Yeah.
Like, that's one. There's nobody that's that worthwhile.
That's one good thing about being the Canucks and having shitty players. Because yeah, the rest, like the players who are under no move contracts are like protected or whatever. So, and then Edler's not under contract. So, who would I protect on Canucks Twitter? God, no yeah, one. Be said, free. Be free. Like, free yourself from this cursed space.
It was 5 print media and blogs and 3 podcasts.
Is what we're supposed to pick?
Yeah. I'm not protecting that many people. Absolutely not.
Protect Daniel Wagner.
Yes, at all costs. Yes, Daniel, for sure. For podcasts? Well, like Canucks Convo, Roxy Fever, like that. None of them are going to move.
I would set them all free because
honestly,
covering this team is pain.
Yeah, except Daniel, we need you.
Yeah. Because yeah, Daniel Wagner's not allowed to leave. Everyone else can go.
Yeah, but like we'll give him nice things so he's, you know, we'll find him a therapist. Free therapy. So you can stay and report on this piece of shit team.
Okay, next question is from @LillianW_. It's, what was your favorite John and John moment of the season?
John and John moment of the season. Mal, when you watch, do you watch with the Sportsnet guys?
Honestly, a lot of times I watch it on mute.
Yeah, that's fair. A lot of people do. Izzy watches most of his stuff on mute. You've heard a John and John moment? Well, they had a really good one recently. Now I can't remember it. Basically, anytime they talk about food is good. Anytime Cheech finishes Lent, really fantastic. What was the thing they just did recently? Hold on. Please edit this out so I can find this and then put it in like I remembered.
This is very unrelated, but the Royals broadcasters, I think about Rex Hudler saying that his favorite planet was the moon. All the time. Just like baseball broadcasters like have no brains at all. Cause like they just have so much time they have to fill. They're just talking about weird shit.
I love baseball broadcasters, totally different, like just a different job. Also
different breed.
Love soccer commentators. they're my favorite. They
oh my God,
so
you need
poetic.
To, okay, so you need to get better at French, and then you need to, which also this like applies to me, I'm also not good at French, but French F1 commentators are so funny. They're just absurd. I will like literally just send you some highlights of it.
Okay, this is...
And thank you. I will say, as a broadcaster, I do appreciate the sharpness of the numbers on the reverse retro jersey. Can't really make a mistake unless you're incompetent. What shade of green is that?
They just have conversations about what colors are on the jerseys. Anyway. Also very shocking this year when they started and Garrett's mustache was gone. It's horrifying. Anyway. Do you have a favorite moment, Sam? I'm having trouble remembering.
I didn't watch enough Canucks games closely to have a favorite moment. Not a John and John moment, but probably my favorite moment of the entire season was when Dan Murphy said Montreal Summer on the panel, and it was the best.
Carolyn Cameron said it too, and we didn't even bribe her with $20.
To be fair, Murph also wouldn't take our money and then bought a shirt, so.
I know.
Also, come on the pod, Murph.
Yes. Hey, he's one of the people I meant to message, and then I chickened out.
This is so embarrassing. I accidentally just followed Kelly PK on our pod Instagram earlier. Twice? And I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
You're into her. It's fine. She knows. You're like those weird guys that, like, the thing where they go back and like your old Instagram photos is the way for you to know that they're into you.
This is really insulting.
So Wayne does not look like she's had children.
No.
I know.
What the fuck?
She kind of looks like Rachel Kirkconnell.
Yes.
Does she not?
She does. No.
She looks like Max.
Yeah, she does.
That is horrifying.
Literally, I saw her on Siblings Are Dating. They put them up there, and I was
oh
like,
"Oh my god, they do." That's so creepy.
All right. Anders Lau, a loud brother on Instagram, said, "You get to sneak a single phrase via subliminal messaging to the 200 hockey men. What's the phrase? Just hire women."
So subliminal. I really like our No Stats Just Vibes, but that's something that they would also like.
They love that.
They wouldn't understand the irony. They wouldn't understand the irony of our commentary on that. I don't know. Something like, probably something about fighting being stupid.
I think mine would be like, you don't have to offer your opinion on literally everything. No one wants it.
Yeah. Who do we qualify as the 200 hockey men now? Like, who falls into that camp? Like, does Brandon Prest fall into that camp?
Yes.
Or is that like a new thing? A whole new thing where it's like,
no, he falls into it.
Him, Tom Sestito.
Darren Fleury.
Oh my god, who's the crazy one on who played for the Kings? Dustin Penner. Yeah, subliminal message. Yeah, just like, hockey is gayer than you think. hockey is homoerotica on ice.
Extremely.
They get really mad about that though.
Somebody sent in a question that says, can you please cover the fandom rules for playoffs? New fans need to be educated. I'm not reading the rest of the tweet, but like that goes against the very ethos of this podcast. So no, I mean, yeah, I'll cover the fandom rules. Be a fan of whoever the fuck you want to.
I actually, here's the thing.
Not
like,
even game one of a series, show up game three and just bandwagon. Do
well,
it.
Well, that's the thing I really like about the playoffs. Like, and I have a lot of experience of this with the Canucks not being in the playoffs, is it's really fun to watch super high stakes games where you aren't part of the stakes. Like for me, when I watched the Canucks, I remember like all through the 2011 playoffs, like I would literally go into trances while watching the games because I'm so painfully superstitious about like volume has to be on an even number, have to be sitting in this spot, have to be wearing this thing, have to do stuff after certain things happen. Like, it's very awful. Like, it's manic. So when I don't have to be like that, I love it. And I can just watch hockey and watch people have fun and like watch the moments happen without being like in pain.
I mean, I don't devolve into like superstition or whatever, but I will become very committed to a team out of just a random decision and then be devastated when they lose, when I had no affiliation to them a week earlier. So it's like high stakes.
I get like that in the Olympics when it's like some random, like small country and you're like, oh my God, this team, do you want to
look? So I'm like this with every series. Like, I don't actually understand how people watch a hockey series without randomly picking one team to cheer for. Like, I don't think about it. I will start watching a game having no feelings about either team, and then something will happen and I will be like, fuck that other team. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then I will just cheer for that team for the rest of the series. And it's like, yeah, I don't know what the rules are for that. I pick a team in every single series. That's just how I watch hockey.
I do that too, but I just don't get into like, but I can still enjoy the game without being like, I guess, insane about it in a certain way. And I just, the thing that, I don't know. I like when, I like in playoff hockey when things get, because I think that playoff hockey is where things get messier because first of all, the fucking refs don't call penalties at all. So like fun. But also like, because there's so much tension and because of like the momentum swings, which I know some people don't believe in, but I kind of do. It's more of that like open-ended hockey that I have fun watching that I think like when you're a kid, you love watching. So it kind of brings me back to being a kid. And I really like that a lot. Also overtime is like one of the most insane things in sports that we still do. Sudden death overtime to the point where you can play literally for like two full games and no one has won the game. So that's always wild too. Okay. Last question. I don't know who asked it now. Oh, wait, I found it at J0919. Is this Canucks season more dramatic than this season of The Bachelor?
If you're talking about Matt James's season, yes. Obviously, neither of the women's seasons have started yet, which they do start soon. Katie's season.
Katie, known Kraken fan.
I would say not more dramatic than, like, Juan Pablo's season, but more dramatic than Matt's.
Yeah, the thing about Matt's was, like, everything happened off air, which I guess, like, to a certain extent, I guess I said this earlier, like, a lot of this stuff was happening off the ice. But I mean, one's talking about racism and one's talking about a hockey team, if we want to be like super pedantic about it. So no, but Matt James's season could have basically like spelled out the end of The Bachelor. I think a lot of people think that it's basically done after, Katie and, Michelle's seasons. So you never know. Maybe this season is the end of the regime and ultimately, I don't know. Are you guys going to watch Katie?
Yeah.
I think she's going to
just
fun.
As I think. And I think Tayshia and Caitlin will be good hosts.
Blake, Canadian Blake is back too. From Tayshia, well, I guess Tayshia and Claire's season. So.
I don't think it was more dramatic. It was more dramatic than Matt's season, not more dramatic than Colton Underwood's season.
Oh God, the layers to that season now. Jesus. Av scored. Sam goes immediately to mute. So funny.
I just enjoy watching Jordan Binnington get scored on so much. Like, I always enjoy watching the Av score, but anyone scoring on Binnington just gives me extra joy.
God, he is just the worst. Okay, actually, this is the last question, and then we can do 3 stars. Who do you think are going to come out of each conference? and who's going to win the cup.
Dude, I don't know who's in what conference. Don't ask me these questions.
I mean, the Avs are obviously going to come out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Avs and Canes.
That was my pick, too. And I think the Avs will win, but...
Me too.
Mal, go with your heart. Mm-hmm. Bet on Devo.
I don't know. I'm saying Lightning out of the East, and then
that's fair.
Sure. Let's do it. Oilers out of the West. Let's go. They literally just lost, but it's fine.
It's fine.
The Blues have 7 shots on goal, so I can't get over this. They're being outshot 22-7.
My star of the week is Nathan MacKinnon because he's scoring a point per period.
Which is crazy. That is pretty crazy.
Also because someone reminded me of the Vanessa Morgan Instagram post yesterday and it's hilarious.
My star is Shohei Ohtani, who...
That's a good one.
He's
out of this world.
Mike Trout, who is arguably the best player in baseball, and is making somehow Mike Trout look, I don't know. He's excellent. He's so good.
He's a literal freak of nature. Like, people do not understand, like, this is a once in a lifetime.
And if you don't know about Ohtani, he plays for the Angels. He's a pitcher and he's also a designated hitter. He plays in the American League, which means pitchers don't hit. But he actually wanted to really hit because he's excellent at hitting, which is so rare in baseball. And he's hitting homers. His ERA is so low. He's incredible.
He can throw, like, I think he had a game this season where he threw a 90-mile-an-hour, like, fastball and then hit a homer. Like, he hits for power. Like, it's – you get the – okay. Like, one of the things I do love about baseball – is when the pitchers have to hit in the National League. Like, it's so funny. I always think of, because you'll get some of these pitchers who are, like, look like they belong in beer leagues.
Some pitchers are, like, who's really the guy? Excited to hit.
Yeah, it's so fun. Like, Marcus Stroman loved to hit because he's crazy. But I always think of that pitcher. He pitched for like a bunch of teams, but I always think of him when he was pitching for the Mets. I never remember his first name, something Cologne. And he's just like a chunk. He's just a chunk. And it's when they hit and then they have to run. It's so funny. But yeah, Ohtani's just like, you'll never see anyone like him ever. Like, he's just
also the Angels insane. Are last in.
Yeah, and they suck.
Like, and they have Mike Trout, who is the best player in baseball, like, hands down. They have Ohtani, who is the best player in baseball, second. And, I mean, they just got rid of Pujols, but they shouldn't be bad, but they are.
They literally, like, a reporter referred to Ohtani as... mythical legend in human form. Like, that's how
insane. I think that Ohtani is going to single-handedly prevent universal DH going in.
Yeah.
Like, at least for like another like 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I could see that. He's also like, yeah, he's my age. Anyway. Freak of nature. Insanely fun to watch too. Anyway, my pick for star of the week is Megan Duggan, former women's national league player for the United States, captain. She was hired this week by the New Jersey Devils to be a part of their hockey ops department, which is really exciting. Obviously want more women involved in these positions, especially like really like these are the people who are getting involved now are like really impressive. women's hockey players, like Kemi Granato in Seattle or Haley Wickenheiser with the Leafs. And obviously it doesn't need to be said that like these are white women, and we'd love to have obviously more diversity. Just doesn't end with white women. So hopefully this is the first step into a long step. But Megan Duggan is also openly gay. And so as it was Emily Kaplan, it was pointed out to her that this is probably the first openly gay person to be involved in like hockey ops in the NHL. So it's pretty important, and hopefully we see more of that going forward.
Okay, so thus ends our regular season coverage. We will be back next week with maybe some playoff predictions, possibly. Maybe. I'm not committing to that. And we'll do some fun stuff over the off season. But thank you for joining us this... Wow, I can't talk. Thank you for joining us this week. And don't forget to hit subscribe, leave us a review, 5 stars. And if you want to talk to us, you can find us at BroadcastPod on Twitter, or you can email us at BroadcastPod@gmail.com, and we may or may not answer your emails.
Also, if you didn't follow the rules in our hockey pool, you are getting eliminated. For sure.
Yeah, we're not going to take you out. We're going to let you win.
You can't just pick like everyone on Tampa.
And Colorado.
And Colorado. That's not how this works.
Currently, the top two teams, the top two teams in our league right now did not at all follow the rules. Oh, top three.
There's
top
one three team. One team in the top seven that followed the rules. And a bunch of people replied and were like, I didn't see the rules. I'm like, it's on the fucking tweet with the link to the pool.
So if you entered the pool and you didn't follow a single requirement, you are
eliminated.
Disqualified. Also, for like the one dude who was rude to Clarissa. And then
also
was like,
you get disqualified just for being an asshole to us.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, I'm going to win because I met all the requirements. I was like, no, you don't make the rules. We make the rules. It's our own pool, and I can disqualify whoever the fuck I want to.
He also lost his mind about height. And I was like, oh, players lie about their height. And then he was mad because Clarissa picked Cale Makar as being under 5'10 or whatever. And he's 5'11, whatever. They lie about their height. Lost his mind. Then Sam was like, you need to calm down. And then he was like, I'm not even mad. After he replied to us 5 times, yelling at us about the height. And then Sam was like,
sending us a screenshot of Cale Makar's height according to NHL.com.
And then, yeah, whatever. And then he was like, well, I'm going to win the pool. And Sam was like, no, we're going to take you out. And then he deleted all of his tweets and blocked us. So it's like, okay, why are you mad about an arbitrary pool where one of the requirements is vibes? Like, you just have to pick a player with vibes. Like, whatever.
If you're taking the pool this seriously, you're disqualified. But also, if you took it 0% seriously, you're also disqualified. Yes. You need to find a medium.
So we have our own rules.
This is a no stats, just vibes pool. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm stopping.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.